We're good. We'll call this BOE meeting to order here, 1 o'clock, for those board members. Kelly Trimble, by the way, will be here just shortly. I'm sure he's had a little longer lunch, but we're going to stay on schedule and start anyway. So let me get my agenda out here. And you're Mr. Johnson?
I am.
If you would come to the microphone and we'll pull up that BOE number, which is 0259 is what it shows for those on the...
And 0264, two parcels.
I see it, thank you. 59 and 64. Okay, how come I don't have that? 07, 02. Sorry, there you are.
Okay.
There they are, okay.
Sweet.
All right, sir. So what we'll do is, let me kind of run through the routine. You'll be able to, we have everything you've scanned, anything you've sent to the clerk's office, we have on our computer so we can kind of see what you're talking about. You'll get.
Yeah, I didn't send anything.
Okay, well, we still have your appeal form and then what the assessor has assessed, so we've got something.
All right.
And then what we'll do then is you'll have a few minutes to kind of talk about why you're appealing. Then the board will probably ask you a few questions. Then we'll have the assessor make statements of why he feels like the assessment is correct. And then what we hope to do is either deliberate. We'll have an answer sometime today. We're leaving the afternoon at 3:30 and on later for us to make decisions. Whatever the decision is, you'll be mailed it from the clerk's office.
All right.
All righty?
Okay.
Chuck, you ready?
Ready.
And Dave's ready? Go ahead, sir, and floor's yours.
Okay, I'm going to start with the house at 1004 Emery Creek.
Okay.
I got this in March, and I paid $146.6 for it.
Okay.
And somebody sent out two people to reevaluate, and this and the house you have on your records that the basement's finished. At least that's what they said.
Okay.
And the basement is not finished. And I had the house was appraised when I bought it. And it appraised for $150,000. I have that right here. The
okay.
Appraisal.
When was the appraisal done?
The appraisal was February 24th, 2010.
Okay.
Then I have a recent sale that's right here.
Okay, so let's. So what we'll do is I'm pulling up the. So right now it looks like the. The parcel is valued at $249, is that correct?
Yeah.
Right here. All right.
Jim,
and
can I take a peek at the appraisal there?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I'm looking at the land values at $70,000. House is at $179 for a total valuation of $249. And you purchased it... February 2nd, is that correct?
March.
March 2nd?
About that. March 4th, I think, or around
okay.
There.
Okay. James, from a square footage basement perspective, is there an inaccuracy there, or is there a basement on there?
It appears to be on there on the printout. I think this is the one that the state went out and confirmed that we was wrong, but they was wrong in confirming it.
That's the ones that we saw the pictures of what their version of a finished basement is and what the real version is?
Right.
Okay.
So we didn't change it because it was one of the state printouts. I don't have no problem changing it. Is it finished? What is it now?
It's studded in is all. It's got studs. That's it.
No
yeah.
Sheetrock? Or sheetrock instead, just studs.
Just studs, that's all.
It won't go to an unfinished basement, but it'll go to a different percentage used to calculate it.
Okay.
And I don't care to do that.
You want to bring it back at a later date, or you just...
They won't be there today, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things that the board has to do is we have to establish... or. All the valuations that we talk about is based off January 1st, 2009. So even though you bought it in 2010, James's job or the assessor's job is to set the value based off of January 1st of 2009. We don't change the valuation based off of sale prices in Missouri. So that's a little bit of the difference we have with your appraisal versus...
Although your sale will indicate what it should be set for at the next appraisal cycle, which is January 1, 2011.
Right. So we know that it'll be adjusted for 2011. But what we can adjust for is if you don't have a, if your finished basement, if you're being charged for finished basement is not, we can reduce, we can make those adjustments, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Board, how do we want to do it? Do we want to make take action before we know what James has made the adjustment, or just table it until James comes back with an adjustment dollar figure?
Or make a motion to change it based upon the recalculation.
We've done that 2 or 3 times.
Okay.
That once Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is it just an option?
So
I would move that we change the valuation based upon the assessors reapplying the basement percentage to it.
Motion by Dave. You've got that clear enough understanding, Jim? Cindy, clear enough understanding?
Change valuation based upon assessor's new...
recalculation.
Recalculation.
Evasion, yeah.
Any second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Kelly. Any more discussion on the this? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. So what we've done is we're going to make take the adjustment for the basement. So, okay. And that will be a lowered value, and the clerk will mail you the lower valuation on whatever the lower value is on the house. But you have another parcel, which is the land. Yes. So, here you go, sir. Now, on the land item, what which is BOE number 0259, is on the books for $55,460. And did you pay $11,900 or is it
$18,900?
At the end of 09. At the end of 09. Yeah, we had a bunch of these already because it's 5 acres, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Board, do you have any further questions about this? This is strictly a valuation question.
I was going to say, do you know of any sales?
Yeah, I got some sales.
Well, I mean, around January 1 of 09, that would indicate what it was worth January 1 of 09.
Or before that, or 8.
Before that.
I don't know if these, in fact, these are all 2000. I think I didn't date back that far.
Yeah.
I got one 12/30/09. Got 12/21.
Of 09 or 08?
09.
Of 09.
That's a year later.
Yeah, it's too late. You got anything in 08?
No.
Okay.
We've had a lot of people come up in the Emery Creek or the in the
Shoal
Bend, rather. We had a lot of people in there with lots that, I mean, that they paid half or less of what James has them on for. And all the sales data that James has in 2008 leading up to the date of value was supports his values, but apparently the values just collapsed sometime in 2009.
Yeah.
And a year after the date of value, everything is worth a whole lot less. So the thinking is that January 1 of 2011, it should be revalued.
There'll be a pretty good decrease.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen any, we haven't seen any compelling evidence that says it was incorrectly assessed January 1st of 09.
Yeah, we've been asking everybody, you know, what do you know of that sold in that time frame?
Well, they all sold in either 7 or 8 for around $60,000.
Right.
Yeah.
So the assessor does reassessment on the odd years, which is January 1st of 2011. The new valuations are coming out, and he's made indications that everything's going down substantially in this area. But we haven't found any evidence that would help, unfortunately. So, is there any other information for this gentleman? All right. I appreciate you coming in. Whatever the vote is on the second one, the clerk will mail you a response on both those items.
All right.
And one thing, just to let you know, if you disagree with it, you still have an appeal process. You can appeal at no cost to the State Tax Commission. There'll be some information in the mail, in the letter. So if you want to go to the next level, you can do that also.
All right.
All right? Thank you, sir.
Yep.
the 115 Jasper Enterprises. You can come on in there, sir. It's BOE number 290, 301, 302, and 303. So we've got four parcels it looks like we're dealing with.
Is Keith Jasper?
When he comes up, we can find out.
Well, no, I mean, he's not, but I was only thinking Keith Jasper.
Howard Johnson. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Beautiful country down here. I came down from Kansas City today. My name is Charles Young.
Charles Young, okay.
Manager of State and Local Tax for CBIZ Mayor Hoffman McCann. We do tax work for the taxpayer.
Okay.
And he asked us to review some assessments for him this year, and I have appealed these four parcels. I mailed income and expense information ahead of time.
Okay.
To the clerk. Hopefully it got dispersed to the individuals that...
Well, I'm looking right now. I don't see it on my list here, Cindy. Do you guys see it?
Yeah.
What is it?
What? Well, hold on.
70290.
All grouped as one over to the... Yeah.
Down. Oh, here it is. 029. You grouped and being so efficient, it threw me. So not your efficiency.
Less to open.
So are these three parcels all the whole huge... Motel, one big motel property?
No, sir. There's three hotels. The Days Inn has a second parcel, which is a Mexican restaurant that is a net lease investment.
And then the other one's the Hojo.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to whatever you want to talk about first.
Let's start with the Hojo,
which would be the first BOE number.
My approach and hand out some.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've emailed or faxed, we've got them scanned in. Okay, perfect.
We're going to need it too for the clerk's office eventually.
Okay.
For the permanent record.
I have two left.
You, right there would be great. Just one over there. Perfect. Okay.
The subject property is a motel, hotel. These are investment class, this is investment class real estate.
Okay.
Thus, I believe the income approach to value is probably the most valid. Investors in this type of property don't buy the sticks and bricks of the building, they buy an income stream.
Right.
I have provided 3 years, 2007 through 2009, income and expenses. What I've done is given you the pre-real estate tax. That's going to be the net operating income mm-hmm. before real estate tax. And what I've done is loaded a cap rate with the effective tax rate.
Okay.
So you can see in 2007, this property was producing $573,000. 2008, $467,000. 2009, $367,000. Capitalizing the 2009 income at, and at the last page, I've provided a summary sheet of capitalization rates applicable to hotel motels.
Okay.
I believe that the subject property would be the second class, a limited service hotel. The full service luxury is going to be a hotel that has concierge. They're going to have all of the amenities, restaurants, bars and spa, that sort of thing.
Okay.
This is probably, you stay there, you might get a free breakfast.
Gotcha.
I think looking at the declining income stream, we're looking at investment classes. We're not looking at construction classes. There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. I consider this to be a B+. That might be a little generous due to the fact that it's the income stream is declining. So that's 11%. The effective tax rate was calculated using a 2009 mill levy of 0.0476266 multiplied by the assessment ratio of 32%.
Mm-hmm.
It's indicated 1.5%. So if you load the 11 with 1.5%, the indicated value is $2,960,000, say $3 million
okay.
for the subject property.
You have this information available without the 2009 figures.
Well, if you look at the 2008 NOI before tax, that was $467,000.
So we're basically
if we divided it by, that would indicate a value of $3.7 million. If
and,
we capitalize.
And you know why? The reason we asked it, because we have to set valuation January 1st of 2009, which is really your 2008 numbers.
I understand.
Okay. 2007,
right.
However,
2007, right.
We had the 2009 available, and the thing with the income approach is it's based on the principle of anticipation. You're anticipating a future income stream. So if you're buying something in a with a declining income stream, maybe you can determine it's a management problem. Maybe you can determine it's something that can be fixed. However, I believe that this is just due to the economy. So if you are bound by what is available as of 2008, I would suggest a fair market value of $3.7 million. I will continue to be in contact with the assessor's office up until 2011 valuation and give them the 2010 numbers.
Okay.
So it, for reappraisal, that number may be lower.
Okay, before you get to there. Kelly's got some questions. Dave, you have anything?
Not at this point.
Okay, go ahead, Kelly.
How familiar are you with the appraisal concepts? I mean, do you have training in appraisal?
Yes.
You know, okay. I mean, are you an appraiser or you're just aware of everything?
I'm aware of everything.
Okay. You're showing us 2009, 2010 hotel cap rates, which would be indicative of the relationship between income and value in that time frame. We're really looking more at January 1, 2009 as the valuation date.
Yes, sir.
So we would probably be looking at the 2009 income, or excuse me, the 2008 income closer than anything.
Okay.
And comparing this property with other properties that have sold. This range of rates, where does this data come from?
There's a appraiser in the Kansas City metro area, Dan Craig.
Okay.
He's highly active with the IAAO, which is the the organization that works with the counties in their training. And he does a capitalization rate analysis for several counties in the metro area. And this is gathered from regional data.
This is basically from Kansas City data or regional data?
This is regional data from Dan Craig from the Kansas City.
Okay.
This in particular was done for Mr. Paul Welcome. Mr. Welcome is the assessor.
The guy I was telling you about, the assessor of Johnson County.
Johnson County, Kansas. Johnson County, Kansas is one of the top 10 wealthiest communities in the country.
Yeah, right. I think Paul, the last time I talked to Paul was about a year ago, and he was just coming off of Appraisal Foundation Board or something. So
okay.
he's way up there. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing stuff right. But this data comes from Kansas City Metro and basically the region.
Yes.
Not necessarily from Branson.
Not necessarily Branson, no, sir.
Okay. Do you have any sales in Branson that would indicate cap rates?
No,
or
I do
aware
not.
Of any? Okay. Would it surprise you to learn that the relationship between income and value in Branson or in other resort markets is different than it would be in a metro area or in a regional for most conventional motels?
And why would that be?
It's just a market observation.
We
see that cap rates in Branson have historically been, for motels, has been lower than an otherwise comparable motel in other markets. I mean, you can come up with reasons, but they just do. It's just the hoopla of rents, and people pay too much for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the data that we have in Branson in the last few years, there's been a significant drop in incomes. Is unclear enough to really extract direct rates. Do you have any data on income multipliers, gross income multipliers, that would be applicable to this?
I do not.
You don't? Okay.
I'm coming here to talk about direct capitalization.
Direct capitalization, okay. Well, I think the only real criticism I have of what you're doing is that you're using regional data and applying it to a local market that, you know, I know is a little bit different than the regional market, which may come to a surprise to someone owning properties in a region. We have a lot of regional buyers come down here and wanting to buy stuff, and everything's overpriced. You know, it's because people pay too much for stuff down here. So I would think that your cap rate would probably, as stupid as it sounds, probably be closer to 9 or 10%, and then you load it for the 1.5, and you're going to get closer to like 10.5 to 11%. Which if you applied that to your pre-tax 2008 number, would be, well, let's just do it, 466, 900, let's use the 11.5, be like $4 million. Use the 10.5, that'd be like $4.4 million, which I think would, what's this particular parcel on for? Is it on for like five something?
$6.8 million.
$6.8 million.
It is significantly, in my opinion, in the owner's opinion, significantly overvalued at this time.
Okay.
And I do understand that there is a range of value. And
okay. Well, let me finish. The a preferred method in this market seems to be to use a gross income multiplier. And the way we were just discussing this earlier, 3, maybe 3.2 for a nice property. Bigger properties tend to be a little less, so I would think something around 3 times gross. What did this property gross in 2008?
That data is on the third page. I gave you the actual.
That would be this. Well, let's see. Room revenue, meeting room. You have other.
1,000,005.
1,529.
So that would, 3 times gross would be like 4,000,005.
Yeah, 4.5.
And this is an older property. No, this is like a 93 property.
Put it right in line with the cap rate.
With the 10.5 cap rate, which may be a little low. I'd think loading it for the somewhere in the middle of it, more in the middle of that range would be right. But about 4.4 million is kind of what. Well, now, how many units in this property?
Can the assessor help me with that?
I'm looking myself.
Units, 99 reclassified, 03 depreciated building, 344 units, it says under comments.
Yeah, that would have come from management.
Which would be like 13,000 a room. Now, is that 344 units in, that's just in the Howard Johnsons, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That'd be like 13,000 a unit, and they were all built in 93? That's kind of why that's in line with the.
It says reclassed in 99, depreciated buildings in 03. It doesn't say when it was built.
It was
94. You're right. When
I'm just
books,
going
94.
By memory, that was the time frame it was built in.
Yeah, it was when
which
I was
which was a couple of years after that K Royale we were talking about. We have some sales right about the beginning of 2009 of admittedly smaller motels. This is probably the largest property in the market, with the possible exception of the Days Inn, in terms of number of units. So how that would affect it, I'm not really sure. But I would tend to say that it would go toward more of a regional buyer because of that, and still be affected by local market. I mean, this 4.4 is like 13,000 a unit. I mean, if we're talking like 12,000 a unit, and what did you say, how many?
344.
4.1-ish. Yeah, I mean, the data that you're giving me kind of suggests something 4.1 to 4.4 million.
Okay.
And this is saying you're looking for like 3 million.
Well, sir, that's capitalizing the 2009 income.
Yeah.
If we look at the 2008 income of 467.
Yeah.
And capitalize that at
12.5. You get 3.
You get 3.7.
3.7. The capitalization rate.
We just discussed that the cap rate would be lower.
What I was going to say is the cap rate that that demonstrated in the market at any given moment expresses the market's anticipation of a decrease in income. If they are anticipating a decrease in income, they'll buy it with a higher cap rate. And in years leading up to this, they were anticipating increasing incomes, and we were looking at cap rates like 7.5%, 8% on a lot of these motels. So let's
go on to the next property because we got three more.
We were talking somewhere between 4.1 and 4.5 million.
That's what I'm thinking. It's going to be up to these guys as to whether they go for it. But James, do you have any comment on what I was thinking there?
No, I was just looking at the income expense reports, and I asked over the phone yesterday why you would vend soda as an expense at $6,200, but then you'd shove it in your revenue line of just as selling $2,764 of it. Do you have $4,000 worth of soda sitting out there somewhere that you didn't get sold?
Perhaps. That's in my. With all due respect, sir, that's just minutia in my mind. In the big picture.
To address that just a little bit.
We don't have time to address
that. No, I just got one thing here. They're showing expenses totaling around $1,000,001. This is 2007. Let's look at 2008. Expenses of $1,170,000 with gross income of $1,529,000.
$466,900. Is that what you're looking for?
No, I'm just looking at the operating ratio. Which their expenses are running about 76% of revenues.
Right. That's in line with a limited service.
I think in a normal market they'd be looking for 70%.
70, and, yes sir.
Yeah. So right. their expenses are a tiny bit high, but not completely out of whack. Their expense picture is probably better than a lot of the motels in the market. So.
All right, moving to the next.
Let's look at the Red Roof Inn, and I will try to expedite because.
It's the same methodology,
okay.
And so we won't have to cover all those bases. Mm-hmm. That would be which?
BOE number, it's the third one down.
Third one?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Second.
No, first one wasn't.
Thank you.
Is this the one right next to the Econolodge?
814.
Is this the one right next to the economy?
Sir, you're going to have to forgive me. I'm not familiar with Branson. Okay. I'm valuing this from a desktop looking at the income stream.
Okay.
The subject property is a motel. Once again, I have given you the pre-tax NOIs.
Hey, Charles, can you just 1 second while I pull up the right,
yes, sir.
The right one here?
0303.
Yeah, this paperless thing doesn't.
Okay, I don't know where 0303 is. Hold on.
Did we put them all?
You put them all in one big thing then. This is the third
one. What's the assessed value or appraised value?
What's the assessed value of this one?
This is.
What do you got over here? 1746.
That's the appraised value.
That's the appraised value.
Right.
The 32% of that would be assessed.
We're just trying to find the right one on our computers here.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Hold on. Sure.
As you can see, the income stream has dropped off significantly, 50% from 07 to 09 approximately, and then in 2009 we're down to approximately $80,000. If we look at...
That's
why I can't ever keep a phone very long. Our gross is about, right about $500,000 if we're looking at your model of three to one.
That's an 07. It's actually
more. I'm
like
sorry.
400.
Yes, 400 in 08.
Yeah.
$1,200,000 if you use a gross income multiplier.
Yeah.
If we use direct capitalization and drop that cap rate a point, we capitalize $110,000.
This was
closer to $1,000,000.
It says
105.
So the taxpayer asked for a valuation range somewhere in $1 to $1.2 million on this one.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's the same methodology. It's on the books for 1.7.
Yeah.
Based off
the operating ratio, this one's going to be less favorable because it's got a functional problem. You're not familiar physically with the property.
No. What was the functional utility problem?
As I recall, this one only has showers It doesn't have tub shower combinations.
I see.
I think so, it may have a ADA problem of some sort, just like the Econolodge used to. The Econolodge adjacent to it was a fairly nice property and sold for $1.8 million, I think, in mid-2009.
Okay.
And that was right at 3x gross. It sold it in 2008, rather. It may have been 2000. God, I have to go look.
That's right. Let's go ahead and...
I've got one quick question, please. On all the properties. Has the same company owned all these for the last 4, 5, 6 years?
Yes.
Okay, so... The taxes haven't changed in the last 4 or 5 years.
No, sir. And I believe that we've been being overassessed. They just do not understand the relationship between income and value like we do.
Have they ever appealed before? I guess is maybe one of the questions I have.
Yeah, they did.
They did?
Back years ago. But my only question is why we got a 65% ratio in 07. When we go to 09, we see an 86% income to expense ratio. And that has to say there's something besides
the
bathtub and a shower.
No. The income has dropped significantly, and all these motels' operating ratios are going to crap. So, but looking at the 2008 numbers, the market's going to look more at the gross income number than it is the net income number. And, you know, something in the range of 3.2x gross.
Okay.
What I would guess on that one.
All right. So that'd be somewhere around $1.2
million-ish. Yeah, 1.2 to 1.3, something like that is what I would judge.
Okay.
That's me.
There's a vote that goes on, and Kelly's giving his opinion right now, and there's going to be a motion, a second, and a vote.
Yes, sir.
So I'll make sure you understand, Kelly. Yeah. Kelly's.
Is Kelly the commercial appraiser on the board?
He's the appraisal on the board.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead and let's go to the next property.
Okay, this is the last one, but it's combined to two parcels. Is that going to confuse anybody?
No.
Okay. The only reason is that we have a restaurant on here. However, in the income stream is it
accounts for that lease. And it's a net lease.
Okay.
So we're passing all the expenses through. So I just use the income stream to value both parcels.
Together. And the 37.5 is the restaurant lease?
No, sir. If we want to look at 2008, if you look at...
it goes to $70,000.
It's up to $70,000.
And then in 09, it's 90-ish. Or is that 70-ish? I can't.
That's 70-ish, yes.
Okay.
So it's and that parcel is valued a little north of $800,000.
Okay. You need the restaurant parcel.
Yes.
Okay.
I asked for sales volumes in that restaurant to show any evidence of economic obsolescence, but with the revenue down coming through the hotel, I don't know if that restaurant draws from the general public or from the hotel, but. I value the income stream for both parcels. If we look at 2008, both parcels combined are valued at, for 1109, is $6,971,743 market. And if we look at our 08 gross, it's $1,455,702. So 1456.
Okay, if we take the... I think I'd be looking at the $1,410,415, taking the $70,000 of the restaurant lease off.
Okay.
They're all the problem with the days in is
5.32. $250 roughly. And the restaurant? Do they have the restaurant on as?
I have the hotel at 5532123 and the restaurant.
What is the parcel number?
$1,439,620.
Okay. The $70,000.
Okay, before you jump in there, is this two BOE numbers we're talking about?
On this, on Days Inn, it appears there's two parcel numbers, so it's BOE number 301 and 302.
I mean, we may not want to scan all these together again.
Yes, I picked that up. I will do.
I can't
not
find
do that.
Which one we're
I'm having a hard time finding that one too. I found one.
Well,
okay.
It just depends on the property. And,
yeah.
And it's real easy to misjudge that. I
exactly.
think. Yeah.
I'll find the assessor sheet. I can't follow it all.
Here's
just 5.5
on page 8. Page 8 is. That is the Days Inn.
If you were to value the restaurant separately, that's a triple net.
Triple net lease. There might be you take a small vacancy and collection factor and then maybe a administrative
management thing, maybe
management expenses of maybe 2% and then capitalize that at 8%.
Okay, I was thinking more like looking at observed cap rates of more like 8.25%, slightly higher than that, that didn't recognize taking off those expenses. Where
okay.
You just have sales of lease.
That would be absolute net, and it's probably very close to that. And I don't, and the parties are related, so I mean, it is. I'm not saying it's not a market lease.
So we don't know if this is a market lease or not.
I don't know if Jasper's Enterprises. It's the same ownership name on both, but it's doing business as Elente's Mexican Cafe.
Okay.
So they lease it to a. Individual that's running a Mexican restaurant.
Do we know how big that restaurant is? Is this
on page 5 of your spreadsheet
up here? What page are you on up here?
Yeah, this is page 5.
Yeah, that will tell you that square base area.
Yeah. 5,000 for the is that AUD? Is that the restaurant?
But no, it's not the pool. That's what I would just make the assumption. It's 5,000 square feet.
Okay, this. Apparently, this parcel includes
the pool,
one of the motel buildings, some other site improvements, and then the restaurant, it looks like, if I'm reading that right, that can't be right.
There's a picture of it on board.
Would you be opposed to valuing this as one economic unit and then allocating to each
between
parcel?
Between the two, that may be what we're going to have to do, because it looks like the motel office and one of the motel buildings is on this parcel. And then the other motel buildings without offices.
LA's restaurant is the one on the right of that.
The restaurant's the one on the right,
far right. Yeah,
that's motel office is at the north end of the left building. And then their core amenities is that stuff in the middle.
That's the swimming pool and all that in the middle.
Yeah, and as I recall, their laundry and stuff is in the main or lower level of that main office building there.
So
So
help me out here. What are you asking for on the restaurant and the hotel? What's your request?
My request. I'm almost embarrassed to say it because if we use the gross income multiplier.
No, go ahead and word it out.
1,123,200. And that's, I'm sorry, that's not the gross, I'm sorry.
That's not the value you're looking for.
1,455,700 times 3.2 would be 4,658. That would be both parcels. That's inclusive of the lease to the restaurant. That's a gross income of 1,000,000, I believe that's, is that 485,702?
Yeah, it's 1,485.
485,702. 3.2 times, sorry, rounded 4,750.
Right.
Okay. So we've got 6.9
together.
Yep.
Okay. I'd be inclined to, if that lease is indicative of the market rent of the restaurant, I would separate that out and cap that at like 8.25.
Okay.
Which would be like 850-ish probably.
Okay.
And then add that to 3 times the gross of the million. Of the 1,485,000 minus the 70, or the 1,415,000, which would be like 4.25.
You're making notes of when
it's
time for a notion, you'll be able.
So
to
So that'd be more like 5,100,000.
Okay.
And you were, and it's at what? What does he have it at?
Combined
6.9 million. Okay.
All right. Any other questions, James? You want to make any statements? No statements from James? Board, any statements?
No, I think James was probably pretty close to right 2 or 3 years earlier on this, and motels have just collapsed.
Yeah, but with the falling economy and the way it's continually tumbling down the hill, wouldn't he make money to wait till next year and get it on there for about 3.5?
Because the
BOE hearing, once you make your decision on him, we got to lock in for next year.
Do we have to lock in?
You don't have to lock in for 11, do you?
No.
That's a reappraisal.
It's based on last year.
Yeah.
I have to base all my values based on BOE's decision.
And I will give you all the 2010 income.
But he could come back to BOE and argue that again.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is, this is a lot of numbers to digest for, especially I can just speak as one right here. And so what we're going to do is we'll deliberate more at 3:30. We have some time where we have no meetings. We can go back to all the table. We've got like 9 or 10 that we've tabled.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever the decision is, you'll be notified of the decision.
Thank you kindly for your listening to me.
You
today.
Bet.
And I'll give this to the clerk. This is where you can make sure you send a copy of that decision.
Great.
And
thank you,
nice
sir.
To meet you.
Appreciate it.
Good to meet you. Too.
Good to meet you, sir.
Take care.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right.
Same thing. Do we assess ourselves, or do we let the assessor do it next year?
All right. We are ready for BRV Realty. That you? No.
Well, I know.
That's Gary Foltz.
You're the 2 o'clock.
The 2 o'clock.
Oh, you know what? It's a phone call. I apologize. I forgot to put the phone.
This is Alan Heichman.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
This is who?
Alan Heichman.
Okay, let me.
Have I heard of him?
Yeah, he's the one that always beats you on them appraisals.
Let me shut the number down.
Okay. Residence in. No more.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
All right, has everyone pulled up the BOE number 304? 304 is who we're be calling here. It's the Residence Inn. We've got just a minute here so we can review it. It's on the books for 3555. Some of the standard questions we ask is, it's 85 units, by the way, built in 94. And
they're asking for 2.5.
Thank you. They're asking for 2.5.
On how many units?
85.
2.5 on 85.
What's it coming out to? You divide
30,000 a unit.
How much?
30-ish a unit.
I thought we settled
on 743.
A similar motel a few minutes ago. We knocked down to 13.
Yeah, this is. This is a different class of property.
Fixing to.
Do what?
Just forewarning you.
What? He's making comments, and I didn't think we'd voted on anything yet.
Okay. Here I've been agreeing with him all month long, and now he's pissed that I disagreed with him on a couple of points.
6, 7, 9.
This was part of my argument.
Well, hold on.
About 6 or 7 years ago with the state, you keep allowing income in, you're going to cut your own throats and the schools will die. You can put that across the internet, too.
I think we just did. All right, are we ready to call everyone? Familiar with the property? Reviewed the lease? Ready? Donna, give me your number again, 6019.
I'm sorry, I'm entering it into the textbook. What are we talking about?
Your code?
Oh, 6027, and that just went over the internet. Let me come back right now.
Well, what's my packet of information? It was on that packet, but it never made it back to my desk.
See, if you had paper, if you had a tree in your hand like I do, you wouldn't be looking for all this.
I got your tree.
And you want to remember, this paper created jobs. Mr. Commissioner, this created jobs.
Yeah, but
it
they
sure
created
did.
Them in Oregon where they tore the trees down.
I'm just ignoring you, James. You know, I love you. I'm ignoring you.
What did we say the number of units were?
85.
I've got a place to make notes. I can make notes on that.
Hello, this is Jim Strophis calling from the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Yes, how are you today?
Doing good. We have you on speakerphone. I have you in front of the board to hear your appeal.
Great.
And am I speaking to, is it Alan?
That's right.
Alan? We've got four of our five members of the board here on the bench here with our assessor and the clerk. We are broadcasting this on the internet, and it's being recorded for minutes purposes. The process is, we'll hear from you in just a second about your appeal and why you, and you'll state your reasons why you think the valuation is incorrect. The board will probably ask you a few questions, and then we'll have the assessor state reasons why he thinks it's correct. And then at a later time, we will vote to vote on the decision, and then you'll be notified via mail from the clerk's office.
Okay.
All right, and then one last thing, because you are, I think I'm calling you from Illinois. In Missouri, we base our valuations off of January 1st of the odd year, so we're basing valuations off of January 1st of 2009, just because sometimes when we call people from out of state, they don't realize what the Missouri law is.
All right, okay.
All right, well, it's yours. Go ahead and feel free.
Great, thank you. Yes, this the subject property that we have for this appeal is a Residence Inn hotel.
Uh-huh.
There's 85 rooms, about 16 years old. And the reason it's currently assessed at $3,555,856, or about 41,000, almost 42,000 a room.
Right.
And our reasons that we think it's overassessed is based on the actual income and expenses that this property is exhibiting. Taking into account all the rooms revenue and all the revenue that's on board at this hotel, taking out all the expenses that are actual. If you have copies of the brief,
we do.
We provide it. I think it's a 6-page in annualizes or summarizes the historical financials of this particular property.
Right. Okay.
And we know that the 1109 did a value. We included also all calendar year 2009 data just to show that the trends continued of what the net operating income is coming out at. And we took a capitalization rate that is market derived from sources that we have included here as well from CoreCast, which tracks capitalization rates. And we've come up to a value conclusion of $2,528,196. You follow where we are? Any questions so far about
that? I don't have any questions. You guys following along all right? The board?
Yeah.
I'm getting nods. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's really it. These hotels are bought and sold and purchased all the time based on the income that the potential purchasers think that they're going to be able to get, based on how many rooms they think they're going to be able to have occupied and the rental rates, et cetera. So that's why that income part is critical to this. In addition to this, we also did a uniformity analysis, which is actually you can reference on the very back page of the packet that we gave.
I see that.
And that uniformity analysis of us, I think, five other local hotels that are considered by our subject property to be comparable and similar, that if a potential person were coming in with, say, a room in this bracket of similar priced hotels, this is what their competition would be. And we meaning the subject property, the Residence Inn, is about 41,000 a room, and all the rest of them are some significantly, but all lower, assessed lower than that. So we're trying to get a little bit more fair compared to the competition to make things a little more equal.
All right.
So yeah, the average of the five comparables, I think it was about 27,000, almost 28,000 a room. So when we combine that that information along with the income approach, we're requesting a value a little bit lower than 2.5 million, right around 2.45 million.
All right.
In the time for 3.5, so roughly a $1 million market value reduction is what we're requesting.
All right. Board, what questions do you have for...
I have a bunch.
Okay, hold on before you start with your budget.
I'll let you guys go before I do.
All right. Keep them precise, but go ahead, Kelly. There's your microphone right there.
Okay. You're showing your calculations based on the 2009 end of year income. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's really very. I mean, it's really the same from 2008 to 2009. Are really close. So, but yes, we did use it year 2009.
Okay. Well, I mean, the value is supposed to be based on January 1 of 2009. For the two-year assessment cycle, but that's—I'll get to that in a minute. You're showing $1,712,000 gross income for that year, for the 2009.
Yeah.
That comes to about $20,000, a little over $20,000 per year, unit gross income. Whatever you call it, your uniformity analysis, I guess, is based on four comps. In the market of some sort. I think I may know which comps those are, but do you know what those comps would be?
They're in the back.
They're in the back. Oh, are they? Oh, I'm sorry.
They're listed exactly where they are.
They are. Okay. Clarion Fairfield. Your bill shows what... Okay. Do we know what the income per room of these are? Antonin, Branson, West, Comfort Inn.
We don't know what the income of these five comparables. We don't have the income. We just have his price per room, and the looks like the appraised price.
Well, here, let's see what we can do with this.
Well, the property that you're having, you call it a limited service motel. Is it really originally constructed as an extended stay motel? Isn't it more of a suite style motel?
They have built-in kitchens. That's for an extended stay.
Okay, if you take the size of the building and divide it by the number of units, I think you get around 720 square feet per unit as total building area. Would it surprise you that most of the units in Branson, most of the motels are usually around 350 to 400 square feet per unit?
Well, was your question, would it surprise me?
Yeah, I mean, the motels that you're comparing to are more conventional motels, your unit sizes are two-thirds to double the size of the other units in the market.
Yeah, well, these hotels, we took these from the actual, the owners of the hotels have sent travel reports.
Yeah.
These are the ones that they actually consider their main competitors. I'm not sure if you want to, I'd be happy to hear if you have some other.
Yeah, I was going to say, these motels that you're listing here, I know for a fact one of them, they're grossing in the teens per unit, and you're grossing like 20 per unit. I think part of that's because your unit sizes are a lot higher, your daily rates are a lot higher. Do you have any information on what your ADR would be?
The ADR is listed on that sheet that we have.
Okay, I'm just now first looking at this, so I'm not sure I've located all this information. Yeah, this type's really small. I can't hardly see it. Yeah, I know, but you have to pan
out. I can tell you what the average year-end 2008 average room rate was $94.19.
Okay. Average room rate. Okay. I was going to say most of these other motels that I've appraised have been looking at lower daily rates than that, usually more in the high 60s or 70s. So I think because of your larger unit sizes, you're getting a higher daily rate. Sounds like you're getting like 20 or 30% higher than what these are. So I would expect that your motel should be worth something more like 20 or 30% more than what these comparable motels would be. Do you have information on gross income multipliers?
These aren't comparable sales. These are just...
These are just comparable properties. These haven't actually sold.
Correct.
That's a surprise because I didn't know. I thought I was familiar with most of the sales in the area.
James has got a few questions.
Sure. Go right ahead.
James, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you questions.
The only question I have is when I just hurriedly through this, I see here on a franchise fees and a consistent pattern of what they cost, but I'm not positive that that's, we'll have to get with Kelly on that if that's a deduction from your total expenses.
It would be.
And then you got reserve for replacements, parentheses, 4%.
That's the one I was going to ask about.
And I calculated it to be 6.5%. Then I see two categories, total minor operating expenses. Is that in your reserve for replacement expense? And other fixed cost, what those might be compared to, is that in your, and then taking the 6.5 on the reserve for replacements. I think those explanations need to be made before we can actually use the expense line of this thing.
Well,
and,
I would be inclined to, well, I'm sorry, I'll let him answer
And
that.
Bonuses, the other one is going from zero bonuses in 06 to bonuses in 2009 to 16,000. Is that a standard for the industry to be used as an expense?
Okay.
Well, we have the actual financials, if you look through all that, all the detailed information is in the brief we provided. At least for year-end 09 and year-end 08. So I don't know why, I do apologize, I guess that does look like 6.4%. We do usually 4%, but the numbers on there, transfixed, do come out to more than 4%.
Okay.
I think it'd be applicable to make an adjustment for that.
Okay. If you take out the reserves for replacement, which is kind of the convention in this market when we compare motels to each other, the expense ratio that you're reporting is around 73%, which doesn't include taxes. So I'd say with taxes, you're probably around 75%. So I'd say if you take out the reserve for replacement, his expenses are, overall expenses are probably fairly right. But one of the qualms I have, you're using an 11% capitalization rate loaded by the tax rate to use the 12.5%. Would it surprise you to learn that the relationship between income and value in the Branson market may not be the same as it would be in other markets?
I know every market is specific. I just don't know how many recent sales there are to show what the cap rates specifically for Branson are that are relevant.
Well,
if you have something for me, I'd be happy to hear.
Well, we have sales that show historically the relationship between income and value is less favorable in Branson and probably in other resort areas than it would be nationwide or in metro areas. Your CorPass survey is kind of a nationwide number, and Smith Travel Research, when they have sales, report nationwide numbers for usually weighted toward metropolitan areas. Branson, people just pay more for motels than they really should in Branson, so cap rates tend to be lower, and gross income multipliers tend to be a little bit higher. The gross income multiplier that we seem to be observing a lot is around 3 times gross. And if you take your gross income of, what was it, $1.7 million?
Yeah.
Did I see that right?
You did.
That
$1.7 million was 09, I believe. It's $1 million.
$1.65 million.
Yeah.
$1.67 million, yeah.
$1.65 million times 3. That puts you close to $5 million, which I probably don't think is really right for this. But I think we'd be looking at more like a 9 or 10% cap rate for motels in this market instead of the 11, which would put us at the 10.5% to 11.5% loaded rate, which using your 381,000 would put us up around 3.3 to 3.6 million. If you adjust out the reserves, it'd probably be a little bit higher than that.
Any last questions for him?
I mean, what comment do you have do you have any specific evidence in this market of sales that would indicate per unit values or per square foot values or cap rates or gross income multipliers?
I don't, and if there is any, I would really like to see it, because I'm not questioning your historical of three gross income multiplier, but I would question that as of 2009, in this economy, in this market,
sure,
to be that high. But
Okay.
You say 2007 is very different than 2009.
Okay.
All right, sir. Well, what we're going to do is we'll deliberate at the end of the day here to make a decision. Whatever the decision will be, will be mailed to you by the clerk's department, the clerk's office. And I appreciate your time. Is anything last you want to say?
No, I just I appreciate your time and the board's time, so thanks for letting us be heard.
All right. I thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Can we discuss this one, or we need to move on?
We need to move on.
Okay.
Moving on to BOE, we have, looks like, one, two, three.
This is at the very end. I think it says Gary Fultz.
There's 13, I think.
On your computer.
Okay.
They're all grouped under Gary Fultz, I believe, something like that.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Yep.
Branson Hills.
14.
Oh, God, what could this be?
Okay, so it says, the note says, attach a 14 assessment for green space, open space, and signage areas.
Well, that's just for the first 14, because there's more than that. He'll explain all that.
Yeah, there's 22 total.
Okay. Gary Fultz, good afternoon. What I'm coming for you is in Branson Hills subdivision, we, on the taxes, we have... five that we are asking for to be taken off tax rolls for the roads in the subdivision. They were platted private roads. They were dedicated to the homeowners in the subdivision. They can have no value. They can't be sold. We feel that they should have no tax value, and we are asking that they be taken off the rolls. I believe Point Royale is in the same position we are, private roads, and they're not taxed separately because they're for the benefit of the lot owners.
Let's pause right there. James, is that an easy one, or is that?
No, we actually, Emerald Point, we actually taxed the roads in Emerald Point, and we actually taxed the roads. Gary had kept some roads in behind up 248 and behind.
But were they in platted areas?
Yes.
For the benefit? Because I think Point Royale's in their platted areas that were dedicated to the homeowners are right. Not being taxed separately.
I believe you're correct.
And we feel ours has been dedicated to the homeowners.
Is there a dedication?
There's a dedication on each plat.
To the public.
No, to the private, the lot owners.
It's dedicated as common areas.
It's dedicated. The roads are dedicated to the use of the and lot owners and for the benefit of the lot owners.
Lots that you can't develop or all.
I don't have any quarrel against it if they're dedicated to the public, but I do know that many places kept private roads, and we begged. Mayor Lou Schaefer kept many private roads for years, and we just begged them to get them out of their names and into the public.
Well, and well, these won't ever go to the public. These will stay private to the. Estate owners.
But the value of the streets is reflected in the lot values.
They should be, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of private.
So the reason the lots
separately.
Are so valuable is because they own part of the roads. So if we tax the roads and the lots, we're kind of double taxing
yeah.
them.
Yeah. And they have but and they have
the
no
assessor answered the question.
Okay. And I apologize for not pulling the deed on it because I didn't realize that was part of this.
Okay, so we got
I can show you on the plats where they were dedicated by plat to the I think on the attachment it gives you the dedication.
Now, Gary, let me ask you this. Is the homeowners association owner?
The developer owners, and they're going to be moved over to the homeowners association. That's something we hadn't done because we have to subsidize the homeowners association at this time.
But their use is restricted in the restrictions?
Yeah, they're restricted in the restrictions and by plat.
And by plat, okay.
On the dedication. Right. That we can't do anything with them. They have, we can't sell them.
So you got to sell them? Five of these appeals are for the roads.
Five for their roads.
What's your next set?
Well,
do you want the numbers?
Which ones they are.
Okay.
That would be wonderful if you could tell me the BOE numbers.
The BOE numbers?
Or parcel yeah. numbers, either one.
Which would work better for you, Donna? Because I've got them separate. Oh, Donna, I'm sorry.
This is Cindy.
Here.
Those are the five.
Okay, so would you like me to call them out?
Yes, please.
Okay, that's 07, 0388.
0388 is a road.
0390.
Road, okay.
0391. 0392. and 0393, those are the five roads.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got those marked. What's the next set you got?
Okay, the next set is the green space signage areas. Again, in the subdivision, they're for the benefit of the lot owners. They can't be sold or used for anything besides green space as they've been platted that way.
Okay.
And by signage, you're talking about?
If they want to put a subdivision sign, okay. Some of them are allowed signage, some aren't.
An on-site entry sign, not an advertising sign.
That's correct.
That derives income.
That's correct, because they're all owned, they're all within the platted area of the subdivision,
and the
restrictions require, you know, the sign.
Lot owners pay HOA that then maintains
dues, and that's
the sign.
That's for the maintenance upkeep of these green spaces. Some of the green spaces have creeks or flowage areas through them. Some of them have utility easements, and we've created green spaces for the benefit of the homeowners and the lot owners.
So it's basically a common area.
It's a common area, yes. Yeah.
Which parcels are we talking about that? How many of those are we talking about?
14, I believe. Or,
there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They're
various size from...
Uneconomic remnants, too.
Huh?
Uneconomic remnants, yeah. You can't do anything with. Sorry.
But they have a value if they've got a subdivision sign on them, don't they?
They're value to the benefit of the homeowners. We can't sell it.
Which is reflected in the lot values.
It's a directional sign saying this, you know, this subdivision, which they own and the POA upkeeps and maintains.
So is a swimming pool that's there for the benefit of the homeowners, is it taxable separate, or is it just part
I
of the
I think they
lots?
Do tax that separate.
The swimming pool we have is at the clubhouse at the golf course, and it is taxed. We have no swimming pools within the actual subdivision.
And the HOA pays a separate.
James, how would you green spaces?
I charge for them.
But you put minimum dollar figure on thing, don't you?
We put something small, but I would like to ask Gary one question.
Yes, sir.
One of these green spaces, if you turn to, it's parcel number 841846. It's on Winged Foot Street.
What was that again?
8418, parcel 46.
Parcel
46. 46, okay. I think this is...
It don't appear to be a green space. I mean, it's the same size lot as the adjoining lot.
Just a second here.
James, what's the parcel again?
08-4.0-18.
Okay.
And the last digits are 46.
We have two that's similar to that, James.
We don't have that on
our list. There's not one of them, right, James. It's not one of the ones he's talking about.
It's not on the list that Cindy gave us.
Yeah, I got a bill.
I got one too.
Number two.
It's
the 46.
364 is last number.
I apologize.
And it's page 49. Well, 45-49, roughly.
79-487.
46 to 49-ish of your PDF.
See right there. It's got a big green drainage easement through it.
Okay.
Here's a creek that runs right through the middle of it, and utilities. It's an unusable lot, so we took it and the lot across from it, made it green space because there's a creek, actual creek that runs through the middle.
So here?
This is kind of like my lot.
You'd find on another one of these.
Anyway, running through it.
And there's a creek that runs right through the center.
$100.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one he's speaking of is similar size of the lot.
But it has
big drainage. We've got two 36-inch culverts emptying onto that lot that goes on down through and misses off.
So you can't develop that lot unless you handle the big drainage thing. And it's
well,
probably restricted
because you can't build on top of the culverts. So you'd have to drain it all the way through.
Okay.
In Point Royale, we made, and I know it may be impossible on some of these, we made them, the association sell them back to the, combine them back to the lot owners.
And we don't have a problem deeding them back to the POA, the Property Owners Association. Like I said, we probably should have done that earlier. We just haven't because there's not that much build out there, so the developer's still subsidizing most everything out there in the POA, so we just kind of let it slide. And going through these, we said, well, we should have done that And we will do that and be happy to do that. And properly, it should be done.
What value would you put on these things?
I can look on mine.
Well, they kind of.
I'm paying on one in my little subdivision. Yeah.
They kind of, and I didn't bring that, and I apologize. The dollar amounts jump all over. It's not, there's from 300 and something all the way up to 19,000, I think. A wide variance.
We could put the 530 residential minimum value, which gets $100 assessed out there, $4 taxes or $5 taxes.
530 would be appraised value?
Paying a minimal tax like that.
530
proves possession in case anyone tries to claim it adversely or something.
The only thing, Gary, I guess I shouldn't ask that. I ain't going to ask it. I'll ask it some other time. But
you can ask me.
Oh, come on.
No, what's that going to do for your assessments if it's not took off that you have to pay in there?
Oh, it probably won't hurt it much.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about whether it hurts it or are you going to be do it because they're left on.
Is he going to rebate it back to?
I mean, it had nothing to do with me, but whether it's $1 or $1,500, is the assessments be going to charged out to you through our other office, through the collector's office here? She's the one that applies them.
Oh, you mean on the CID?
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the CID. Those parcels are not
these
only
all these parcels. Are
all
not.
Those parcels are not in the CID.
Okay.
Okay.
So the only thing in the CID are platted lots.
Okay.
And stuff. So I understand where you're coming from now, but those are not part of the CID.
So help me out here 1 second. We're talking 14 parcels that are like this, correct?
I believe it is, yes.
So we have one different then? Did I count 20 parcels?
There was 14 acres on one of these.
Huh?
Yeah, I think I've seen 14 acres.
Well, how many parcels did you show? 20? 20 listed?
22.
22, so we got three left then.
What? Oh, there's three individuals, which is something different.
Okay, so.
Okay, there's a 6 acre.
Would you identify those for green space?
I'd have to go back to James.
I don't know which one it is.
That's roads.
That's acreage. All right.
Yeah, that's all roads. You gave it an acreage. Rich. That road area is equal to that.
Now there's one.
I'm just saying that because there are different names.
And that's roads, too. I think that's the roads in section phase 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's the only two
big road
area.
Different name.
Okay.
That was a big acreage.
But I didn't remember
all these little parcels up.
Could you read out the parcel numbers that we're talking about, so I can, for the record here.
Okay.
For the green space.
Okay, starting at eight, the first.
If you read the BOE number that's on that letter, that would be easier. Just read the last three.
Okay, let me find where I am here. Okay. First one is 352. Is that what you need?
Yep. Yeah. So that's green space.
Okay. Let me make sure I get them all. So that's that one. Okay, the next one is 356.
Okay.
The next one is 349.
All right.
The next one is 345.
Okay.
The next one is 363.
All right.
The next one is 347.
Okay.
Next one is 357.
All right.
The next one is 361.
Gotcha.
The next one is 340.
340.
Okay.
Yep, there it is.
Good. Okay. The next one is 11, 21, 28 is 359.
All right.
The next one is 366.
All right.
The next one is 46. I just had and probably lost it. Okay, I've got a 355.
Uh-huh.
And just a minute.
Put you at 364.
That 346 that we were dealing with is the one I'm missing.
You mean 364?
364.
No, the tax number of 18-4. or 8418.
046.
046.
It's actually BOE 364.
364, okay.
Okay. Those are the green spaces.
Those are the green spaces.
So that shows...
I've got 13 there. Is that right?
Because I have three that are left undone yet.
Yes.
Well, I got three.
Okay. I've got, three.
And there's 13.
There it is.
And the reason why the letter says 14 is there was a number of parcels that he appealed that went through BOE last year, so those were disregarded.
Okay,
and that's why his letter, probably there was one of those in that group, and that's why his letter says 14. Right.
So, James, just making sure I understand, the appraised value, you said the appraised value at $530.
Res.
Residential 530 is what your recommendations on this?
Yeah, there's no way to come up with a value.
Right.
Okay. There's no sales.
All right. I just want to make sure. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next three you've got here, and we'll take them individually. So.
Okay. The first one is equalization number 369.
Rich Mack.
Okay. Rich Mack, and that's on an evaluation of a piece of ground that's on Flynn Road, just to the west of the turn to go to Bird Road. It's a 1.90-acre tract that was valued at $19,650, and there's the lots surrounding that parcel are valued at a tremendous amount less than that. Parcel directly to the...
What's the parcel number on that one?
That parcel number is 8419.
Oh, 3111.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Hard to find that in the file PDFs.
All right. Is it correct to say that you believe the valuation should be 720?
In that general area, yes, sir. And as you can see, that parcel doesn't have direct access at this time either.
Where are we at? Jim, do you find it yet?
It's on Flynn.
08.
I had the parcel number if you wanted.
08, 4.0.
Okay, hold on. Here.
Go ahead.
Okay, there you go. Say it.
08, 4.0.
08-4.0.
19-003-001-001.002.
That's the piece.
Right there. Oh, you're saying it's got a spike strip. Because that,
yeah.
Oh, that was the proposed right-of-way for where the road was supposed to come out.
This is the right-of-way here, which is owned by Branson Hills Development. This is owned by Rich Mack. This parcel here, which is 2.28 acres, is owned by Infra Equity Investors, and it's valued at 720. This piece here, which was 1.32 acres, is $610. This parcel down here, right there, is Branson Hills Associates at 610, and this parcel right here is Millington's 1.55 acres at 660. So we're just asking for
you guys are appraised or assessed.
Assessed. Go ahead and roll, scroll around, would you please?
Scroll out, maybe.
I want to see the valuation.
Oh, you don't see that? Okay. Yeah.
Right there.
Just highlight the parcel right above it.
Yeah, just right there. That's that.
Okay. Next, the left.
That one's got a building on it.
Yeah, go down below.
That one's
Millington. That one's got buildings on it.
That's Millington. The buildings on that, to be honest with you, are
crap.
Crap, yeah.
Yeah. But James has probably got them valued.
Yeah,
really high,
but they're abandoned and falling, so.
He's probably got it on for something.
It's
1.9 acres. Basically, it's 1.9 acres.
I'm asking him to put the arrow up there.
Yeah.
Sorry. 19,000. Okay.
Apparently, they got it valued at $103,000.
Okay. All right, let's go on to the next parcel there.
Okay.
The next two.
I think, to be honest with you, again, there are evaluation issues. It's property in our parcel number 08 4.0-18-0-0-011.045. And they had a number of them from last year that were this way that were protested and value held. As you can see, they're valued at $103,000, and a majority of the lots in Branson Hills last year were brought back down to a value of $19,650, I believe it was, and these two were left out.
What's the ownership of these? These are all still Branson Hills development?
Yes, it should be a Branson Hills development.
And the ones that you say were brought down further were also Branson Hills development?
There was approximately 287 lots in Branson Hills residential subdivision. Of those 287, 260, one of those lots have an assessed value of $3,570. And of the two that weren't in last year's deal, which these two weren't apparently on going back through the minutes, these have a valuation of $19,650.
Okay.
I didn't realize you said that.
Are these lots?
Most of the lots that are owned by individuals, their values are higher. The ones that were owned by the still owned by the subdivision or the developer had lower values. And you can see the values kind of fluctuate.
What is the convention or the rule when someone owns a collection of lots? Do you value the collection or do you value the individual lots?
By parcel.
By parcel? By lot?
Okay. All right, let's go to the next one here. So that one, I know where that one is now.
Okay. And the other one is, okay, it's 08417.
00004063. Wow.
And again, that's under the same basis. And like I said, there was a number of lots that were from last year that were at this value and a number of lots that were at the lower value. So we're just, these are the two that had not apparently got into last year's. Reevaluations.
James, correct me if I'm wrong, that over that whole deal last year on those, all the lots in Branson Hills, wasn't it decided to go back to the previous evaluations on those as the settlement?
It wasn't a settlement. The BOE actually gave back half the increase of where I increased lots to their sales value. Mm-hmm. And I think those all the way around that lot is at that $19,350.
And it is. It seemed like most of the ones that were owned by the developer throughout the subdivision were at the lower value because the developer protested. Most of these in phase three, almost every lot's owned by individuals, and I think they stayed at the 19 because they did not join in the protest. So, you know, it's what it is.
Jim?
I'm not going to get any heartburn one way or the other on those, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, when I first did it, I had a bunch, as she knows, a bunch of other lots that were the same way, but they had been in that last year's protest. So she pulled those out for us.
All right. Any final questions for Gary? All right, sir. Thank you very much. All right. Well, I'm going to move that we reduce the green spaces of the following BOE numbers to the appraised value of $530 and move it to residential classification.
I'm sorry. Would you repeat that? I didn't catch it.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. I will move that we change the following BOE numbers to a classification of residential and an appraised value of $530.
For each parcel.
Correct.
$530.
Yes. Appraised.
Is that what you consider the minimum residential?
Okay. BOE's number, in order from the biggest to smallest numbers. How about smallest to biggest for Cindy? Ready? Last three digits. 340, 345, 347, 349, 352, 355, 356, 357, 359, 361, 363, 364, 366.
I would second that motion.
Second by Chuck Pennell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. James, I had some comments about the road. It's, I wouldn't say we're inconsistent, but I think you gave some examples that Emerald Point has some, Port Morrell doesn't.
It all occurred right as I came into office. At one point, Point Royal's roads was in the association name. Then there, as you know, it's been gated, ungated, and gated back over the years. When the city took it, they ungated it, said
Correct.
You couldn't have cross city street, and then there was some big vote, and they put the gate back down. So it's been confusing in there, and I don't know why they came off. I know all the association land around those roads was either dealt back to the people, deeded back as their lawns even, or they pay taxes on them, little points on the end and stuff like that. But out in Emerald Bay and two or three other subdivisions, Emerald Bay in particular, Emerald Point, we've got the value of those roads built out as a parcel.
One big parcel?
Mm-hmm. We've seen here some of this was six acres, 13 acres, whatever. That's the total amount of road. And I don't know why we do it. I just know that the ownership requires that we value it because it is not owned by the association or...
So do we put those to open green space too for now, and then if they deed it back, they change it to zero?
I would like to see the deeds. They're in Branson Hills Development right now.
Right.
And...
Still not buildable. It's like a green space, though.
It is like a green space, but if I owned the road and said, get there however you can, would I have that right?
Well, they're deeded back to the Property Owners Association.
Yeah, if I've seen it. I'm saying, Jim, if I've seen the deed.
You're saying, what should we value the roads at?
Well, if right now it's owned by a developer, if the road should the road be of zero value?
What's the market value of a road? You own a road that everybody has the right to go use in the development. What possible benefit would there be for you to own a road?
Who fixes it?
All right, so let's say you fix it, and you're liable for whatever people crash on it. That's even less of a reason to want to own it.
I know. It doesn't make any sense to me. And like I said, since I've been in office, I've tried to straighten up four or five of those incidents.
Yeah.
But... doesn't matter what I try to do, and it don't matter how you guys try to value what the court's going to see when they look at the deeds, if something like that were to happen, Kelly.
Isn't that what... Well, we need to look at the deed, because I know of a property in Taneyville that there were sections sold off.
Mm-hmm.
The last section, maybe it was the last one, one of the last ones, had the road on it. It was part of that parcel and was paying taxes on the road. It was not a county-maintained road.
Right.
That property owner got the county to take it over and is no longer part of that last piece of property. It was then dedicated to the public road. But until then, it was a part of that piece of property, and so they were paying
taxes
on it.
Value
so
of the land under the road.
If it's the survey plat shows it dedicated to the public, it shouldn't be taxed.
But it's dedicated to the
it's dedicated to the PO.
Your lot ownership equals your lot plus your proportionate share of ownership in the POA.
The reason it isn't dedicated to the public, it can't be gated, and you can drive down there anytime you get good and ready. And that's not the case. This is a private road.
It's a private road.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing.
Does the private road have market value?
It's a very logistic question, Jim, in answer to your question. It's not just a simple fix. Because
if it has a market value, it's only as a component of the larger, what is the aggregate of all the common areas of the POA worth?
Because we dedicated our road immediately to the public whenever we built the road.
Sure, you don't have to pay taxes.
And liability.
And maintenance, right. That stuff, yeah.
But in a private subdivision, if you want to gate it, you would not do that because then it closes.
Right, because you can't gate out the public to a public road.
Right. That's what Point Rail had the problem with.
Mm-hmm. But is the bottom line question then, how much is that private road valued at?
And so I would say, since it's like a green space, it would be valued a minimum amount because it's not a public road. It's a green space.
Why? Well, market value, why would anyone want to buy it?
It's not so much want to buy it. It's not a public road.
It wouldn't be privately usable. I mean, you couldn't build anything on it.
You wouldn't get any utility out of it except to get to your own house, and everyone else already owns the rights to get to their own house over.
The only way to straighten it up was if we'd have measured it and charged somebody up for the pavement and curb and gutter. And then I guarantee you it would have been straightened out because that would be a huge amount of money.
That would go straight to circuit court.
What do you?
We'd have
to. I don't know how to handle it, Jim. I've been wrestling this since '97.
Well, I see it as a green space.
I see it as a green space too, but all the other green spaces you've dealt with is a half acre to acre and a half. And we're talking 14 acres on one of these, acres on the other.
Yeah, but it's still functionally no use. If it was dedicated to the public, I could see zero.
Not necessarily a green space, but a common area.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Same minimum to...
I don't know how you fix it because, like I say, it's two different things for definite sure. You get circuit court and it's totally two different things. Public road versus...
Chuck, what do you think? And the only purpose of that, the only value of it...
Is to exclude the public.
Is to
be all exclusive and...
So do they pay taxes? Do they want to be exclusive? They need to pay taxes because it's not dedicated to the public.
But I'd say it's a very minimum.
I'm thinking the minimum, which is the 530.
Well, you haven't paid enough taxes to establish the possession.
Because look at the... In this case, look at the value of the lot.
$100,000 lot.
Partly because they've made
the paying road. Taxes.
Yeah, partly because the road is private.
I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at it. I'm going to move that we set the values of parcel number, BOE numbers 388, 390, 391, 392, and 393, each at an appraised value of $530, and market residential.
I'll second that motion.
If you've got the numbers right.
Discussion, if you find, James, between now and next year, something's not good about that, you can change it, right?
I don't have no opposition to what you're doing or how you're valuing it, but I don't know that it's fair to reevaluate these roads this year, and then I go look at Mr. Snaden's and other developers throughout the county next year to value them.
Yeah. When did they get dedicated to the public?
I can see the word green space causing the other issue that you just changed.
I mean, when did they come?
They've been paying on them probably a couple of years. And I'm not opposed at all for it to happen next year, but I'm saying I don't know that we're, as Chuck used to say, consistent.
Don't get that involved in this, please.
I didn't bring it up.
I know you did, Chuck. I appreciate that.
Well, that's just what I did. That's all I got to say. And you can do whatever you want to, because I'm not a vote anyhow.
But your opinion counts, James.
Oh, yes.
Chuck, you still good with your second?
Let's vote.
Don't go too far, James. I got.
All right. All those in favor of setting the 5-3, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
We got three more. We're going to do those?
I got one for you. I move that we deny BOE number 387 and 378.
Where are those?
Those are lots.
Those are just lots that are worth 100, or we're selling for 100.
That's what the market. That's what the all the other properties were. This is not the one off of Flint.
I only saw one that Jim was going. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I only saw one that as Jim was going around that was 3,000. He was mentioning that there were a number of 3,000.
I didn't see any.
I saw one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say if they were worth 100,000, why did you lower them all to?
They will be lowered this coming year, but I think comparably, being consistent.
Well, now wait a minute. That brings up another question. Were they lowered?
Should we be raising the other ones?
Last year's BOE?
No. No.
The valuations.
He kept talking about the change last year.
I think what the deal was on these lots were previous. And if you look around them, you're going to see some of their lots, and you're going to see a lot of private lots.
Yeah. Right.
And so we didn't take those into consideration, and I don't think that we should have.
Way on the left. Next one over is $3,000. I don't know why that was so cheap.
There's one, James.
It was probably.
But it didn't get the 50% increase. No, it didn't, but it went from $950 in 2008 to $10,300 in 2009. I pulled it up from
along with everything else in there.
But no, I'm just letting you know.
I know. I know.
So those were part of the 50%.
These two did not get the 50% decrease.
No, but I'm saying the rest of them.
It should have. No, it didn't. Why not? I don't know. It should have.
So Branson Hills didn't get the 50% deal.
It should have.
Is this one of those that James has got it in his record at the original
sales? I actually went back and looked. I went in and looked at the collector's book. And that's what it's showing for 08 and 09. I cannot tell you what it did.
What's a half?
But it didn't.
Tell me again the numbers.
950 in 08 and 10,300 in 09. You want to pull it up?
That would be half the increase.
In what?
They should have been $100,000 lots, and they got half of the increase.
So these need to be $10,000.
The 10,000 whatever that she's got there.
What's the number then? 10,000 what?
10,309.
No. That's what they should be.
That's on 378 and 3.
So do I need to change my motion then to be consistent with what we did last year?
We're going
to
be positive that I don't believe this got the increase or the decrease. Let us check real quick.
Okay.
We want all of them the same.
Even
the $3,000.
That's what I was saying. Do we want to raise?
We need to raise it. Bunch to be the rest.
There may be some reason for that $3,000. It may be steep. It may be a bluff. It may be something out of the ordinary.
Can we ask James to look at that? Because we would like to be, since you brought it up earlier, consistent.
So we're going to have to say this one's a computer problem because it shows that it got.
Somebody bought it. It must not be. They must have thought it was.
They bought that.
James?
Okay, so what is the valuation supposed to be, Donna? I have to withdraw my motion.
Absolutely.
Withdraw a second.
Yeah, it's
absolutely mad. How do you keep this straight for $40,000?
$10,300?
You keep me straight.
Yeah.
What?
2008, it was
$900. What? Okay, hold on. Kelly, I've got to talk here.
2008, it was $950. And 2009, it was $10,300.
That's appraised. Assessed value.
That's assessed value.
Okay, so I'm going to move that we change BOE number 378 and 387 to an assessed valuation of $10,300.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, and that's strictly for the consistency of the motion of last year's BOE action. All those in favor say aye. Aye?
I'm going to abstain because I don't understand what you're doing.
Okay, we can't abstain then.
I'll vote.
No, it's right. We'll just start over again. Abstain is aye, so it does not pass. Let's start over again. What we're doing is...
Why didn't it pass?
Two votes for it.
No.
The board makes up of five members.
Oh, you have to have three people vote.
You have to have three people vote.
You have three affirmative on a five-member board.
You're equalizing these to the values.
I don't know if that's true or not. You either have to have a majority of the members or a majority of those present on Robert's Rules to be the majority of the quorum, I would think.
It depends on what the bylaws of your particular board is, too.
So you're going to have to have three votes, yes or no.
I think we've always operated three of the board.
Well, let me sell Kelly real quick.
He hasn't explained it to
him. So you're just equalizing these to the ones that are around it. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Got three eyes. I'd like to.
Let's redo it and go because the official was he abstained. So no. I move that we change BOE 378 and 387 to assess valuation of $10,300. Chuck's going to second.
Yeah, I think you said 330 originally.
No.
Mistake.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I would like to make a request before we move on, and that is to ask James, if he would, to check on this one that's still on the screen and see if that's right or not, because we should equalize it as well.
Can you do that, Mr. Assessor?
I send this guy.
What do you want to know?
Parcel number? Well, we see what it is. I want the assessor to actually pull his file up with this parcel.
I can show you what 2010 is. I have the tax file here.
What's assessed value of 357?
$18,789. This does not match summer BOE decisions.
I'm sorry. What's on the books for then?
According to the 3570, it's $18,789.
But Donna, do you say that's something different?
I'm saying this map, James has told me before, he did not have this map updated to any BOE decision. So if there was a BOE decision, it could be different.
Let's just, as Chuck has requested James to go out there and pull that file up for us, would you, sir?
Yep.
Bring it before the board.
Need to write that down.
Parcel number 08408000000011.043 for the record.
No, it ain't. 84. Go to the corner.
It is in the corner.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
I apologize.
That's
the corner lot right there.
I was looking at it. Blue down.
Blue is it just because of you.
That's something else. Yep. Rich Mac, we can look at that one.
That isn't the one that's remaining for him, right?
Correct.
Okay.
The highlight one is that nothing to do with that. All right. We have a 245. Is that a call-in, by the way?
Yes.
It is?
Well, hold on. What did you say about Rich Mack? I'm sorry.
We don't have time to dock with Rich Mack. We got a 245. Okay. So
these are the two phone calls.
So if the board members would go to BOE number 305, Clausen will be pulling that up and then making that phone call. Once again, BOE number 305. We'll be calling Tres Pinos in California, looks like. I'm sure I said that wrong and insulted some people. I apologize. Purchase price was $179,900. Market value is $89,000. They have supplied no supporting documentation except that it's on the books for $163. It's a Promenade Branson Landy's condo. It's on for commercial. And do we know if they're, Cindy, you know if they're disputing commercial versus residential?
It just says value.
So we're not going to bring up commercial versus residential. We're just going to talk about value. Everyone good? I'm making the phone call.
Do we have sales?
Have what?
Sales and Promenade.
The prices, we went through this last year.
I remember reading my book this time.
Promenade.
Hello? Hi, is this Judy?
Hello?
Hello, is this Judy?
Yes.
Judy, this is Jim Strophas. I'm calling from Taney County, Missouri.
Oh, hi.
Hi. We have an appeal form for the assessed valuation of some property.
Right.
Are you ready to talk about that?
Oh, I thought that was for next Wednesday.
We have it for right now. Does it need to be for next Wednesday?
Yeah, that's why I thought I was down for next Wednesday.
Okay. Well,
I got the garlic festival right now.
Okay.
Well, she's on a cell phone, man.
All right, well, let us do this, and we will reschedule, and someone from the clerk's office will call you and confirm a time.
Okay, that'd be great. If I wrote down on the calendar, it'd be next Wednesday, so.
Okay.
I got in the mail.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Enjoy the garlic.
Unfortunately, next Wednesday is completely booked.
So let's move them. If they're West Coast time, we'll make it toward the end of the day.
Okay.
Just put it
and
away.
That raises a question that we were going to ask about next Wednesday.
No more questions.
Yes, you're going to answer this.
Your Branson Airport, you know, we had a 10:15. We're trying to give that an hour. We were proposing maybe we could start at 9 o'clock that day, Wednesday at 9 o'clock. We'll move Branson Airport to 9 o'clock if they're okay with that. And then that way, because we go all the way, we have appointments all the way from 10 to 4 on Wednesday.
Chuck, the only thing we've got on our calendar for Wednesday, just to let you know, we have Boys Camp Road discussion, we have energy savings discussion, SM&G. We'll just have to push those way up or just reschedule them for another day, I guess. I think since our time, we have a deadline for BOE.
Yeah, my little notes just show BOE all day. But yeah, I knew those others on there.
Okay,
so that's fine.
Why don't we just, you got it till 8 o'clock. We'll clear the Wednesday and move our stuff to other days.
Okay.
So we can start earlier.
Thank you.
This person won't want to be because that'll be 6 o'clock
again. Yeah, no.
So now we have 15 minutes.
We have 15 minutes now. If we want to go back to...
don't have no idea why that's out of way. I got to send guys out because all the way around it's correct.
So you want to go send somebody out there?
Yeah, I told them to go out there tomorrow or this or something.
Are you talking about which one? Are you talking about
that point on...
How about the other one? If you go back to BOE number or parcel number...
43?
002, the Rich Mac LLC one.
Yeah,
that one right there. Would you pull that one up? That one, it seems a little strange, James, and I don't know. Just take a look at that. All the neighboring properties seems to be, if you zoom out a little bit more for me, would you please, sir?
I think I can explain how he came to that.
Let's let James do the explanation.
Yeah,
there.
You're right.
I'm not so sure we're wrong on that property.
Okay.
I'm not sure there's not a sale on that property. That front property sold, the road part sold on a tax sale over disputed, and a gentleman here in Forsyth bought that and sold it to Branson Hills Development.
Okay.
Then that piece of property I'm pretty sure was purchased. Some of this other property around it, I'm not sure is valued high enough. That's my statement on it.
So if you're saying you think that the valuations around it may be too low.
Yeah.
Should we send you out to go?
Oh, I know the property.
Oh, you know
I know the property well.
Do you want to send somebody out and do you want to look at the other properties? I mean,
no, I've seen they're that same hill.
Yeah, they're all the same. It's just right there. That piece is right in there. And
so either one's too high or the other ones are too low. Don't you agree?
Yes.
So which is it then?
Don't know.
You want to send somebody out or maybe come back and make some recommendations?
I would recommend to look at that in 2011. Okay. It might go down slightly and the other might come up slightly. And
if James is off, he's not off by a whole lot on that one.
Not on that piece. I think there was a sale of a piece of property around the curve, too, where there's some apartments being built.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right around the curve. That was
Schaefer's property?
Yeah, right in that range, maybe more than
no,
that.
No, I think it was ballparkish. It would be south, farther south. The
it's
one he's
barely
talking about.
Farther south.
Way farther south.
Hmm?
The one you're thinking of, is that Schaefer's old property down here? Right where that big, right in there, those parcels.
Right in there.
All of those sold.
That's an apartment sound.
Yeah, they, Ridgecrest, where they bought that.
Were they all at 40,000 an acre or something?
Yeah.
Or something like that? And yours, you have this on at about $1 a square foot or something, don't you? Except these had utilities and that one. There's something good.
Well, you guys say it wherever you want to. I just don't know that reevaluating it here in the audit.
Yeah.
Even
right. He was asking to drop that one way down to the minimal values that we had the ones next to it on.
Right. He was asking to be more in line with the neighboring properties.
And I think the neighboring properties were way above. I agree with James on that.
So I'm entertaining motions.
Well, and January 1 of 2009. What? How much? What's the value on that? Go ahead and click the ID on that.
See, I don't even know what they're talking about.
33 has it for like $1.25 a square foot.
Basically, 47,000 an acre.
Yeah. That other one, I think they bought for 40,000 an acre. Or 30-some thousand.
So what's going to happen is the neighboring properties most likely are going to go up. This will come down a little bit next year, but the other ones are going to go up substantially.
I move to deny.
We have a motion to deny BOE number 0369. Do you get that, Cindy? Motion to deny 0369. I'm going to second that motion. More discussion?
Yeah. Go back to that map, and I'll show you the importance of a road and value of property.
Hey, hold on here.
Go ahead. You see that purple streak in front of them properties, them joining properties? That cuts their easement off to their properties. That is that piece of property that was an old road easement that was sold at tax sale that was purchased by someone.
And
that's why the other properties, a couple of them, didn't mess.
So that's an old road easement.
But you're saying the reason those are lower is because you're thinking they're landlocked or something?
Sure. Back up and look at them. They're platted. So that's a platted road.
So
there you go.
The parcel,
I don't know that was ever platted as a road. That was part of their preliminary plat.
How do you get to that property up there in that wedge?
How do you get to the subject property there?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But.
Well, they, Ridgemax and Branson Hills is one and the same type thing, and he was representing them anyhow. So right there is the reason. You were wondering about the reason. I knew I'd think of it. I'm going to think of more tonight.
Think of more reasons tonight? Okay, good. We want to hear more reasons, James.
It's just hard to come up.
I sense that this is going to go down to 2-1 split, and we're not going to get it approved. Am I sensing correct, Chuck?
Well, we're to equalize, and if we equalize, we're going to have to bring it down, and then if it's not right, James will bring them all up next year. Because it's not equal now. I don't think anybody can argue that. You could argue.
I guess I need a ruling from somebody. Before we vote, can I get a ruling from somebody about is it a majority of the board members present or a majority of the board members?
I do know what Bob is talking about because when they do, even though James and I are not voting members, I've read it and it says we can make motions and we're a part of the board. That's why we can continue to make motions.
Oh, James can make motions at second?
No, we can't.
But you just can't vote on it.
We can't vote on it, but according to Robert's rules, if you're a member of that board, even though you're a non-voting member...
Okay, but so then what's the bylaws? What's the bylaws of the BOE? Is it are we a 3 of 5?
We've always done it. I can tell you how we've always done it. Yep. It's majority of the quorum of who's present, and that's what Bob said, that it was okay, a majority.
Yeah, he's come back and forth, so.
It seems odd to me.
Do we have a motion and a second?
Motion and a second to deny.
We do.
Yep.
To go with just the 3 voting, you mean?
Yeah, I hate to cut the other two out, but the remaining time with the other two here is going to be completely loaded.
No, I'm sorry.
And I think these guys are going to get a pretty good deal when that gets revalued next year.
All right, well, all those in favor of deny say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So it's 2-1.
So we'll have to look at the bylaws to see if it carried or not.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Mr. Chairman, if I expressed my opinion on, and I hope I've driven it through on what a road can do to property value.
Yes, sir. I think you made that
point. All right. I agree. Basically, when you own it.
Don't get anything else to challenge us on at the state tax.
What are you
doing
here
today?
All right. Sanders?
Well, wait a minute. Do we have a few minutes before we could do the president's
interview?
We'll just go ahead and keep on going here with Sanders.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, it's BOE number. Hello. 0402. Let's pull up that document first. Give us 1 second. Lacey?
Me.
Lacey Sanders, right?
Yep.
And you are Lacey.
Heather is Floyd.
And, okay, so what we have is an appraised valuation of $226,000, it appears.
Big house.
222. Is that what you're looking at? Oh,
yeah, the
total.
Right, total.
Okay, I'm just disputing the residence.
Okay, so basically
yeah,
improvements.
Sorry.
So that's
yeah,
right.
I see what you're saying.
222 is what you're disputing. And it came in and sideways on us, and I got to adjust this because... Okay, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please go back to the other screen there? So it's built in 08, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got a full basement, looks like?
Yes.
Okay.
And you all built it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead and just state your case and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, we built our house 2 years ago this month.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure what to... escrow in for taxes for
okay.
So we thought $2,000 between me and my the mortgage person thought $2,000 would be more than enough. This was when we refinanced one year later.
Okay.
I'm kind of thinking of things as I'm talking. When we closed, we did pay $197,000 our construction loan, but that covered material for building stuff, and because we subbed it out ourselves a bit. We had to buy the tools for the guys, a lot of the guys to work on it. So a lot of that was in our construction loan as well. And I did try to call Branson Bank to get a copy of that, but they no longer have the record on file to get to me. It would have taken a lot more digging, and I
okay.
called too late. In other words, I called a couple days ago. And it was also for gravel for the road and so forth and so on. But anyway, at any rate, we built a house 2 years ago, and when the beginning of this, well, in November, back up to November, I called James's office to see why our taxes were where it was. And I think I talked to James at the time, and he said, well, you know, you've got a basement on your house, and it's based on square footage and that sort of thing. And I said, well, we do have a basement, and it's a full basement, but it's not fully finished. Concrete floors. We do have a bedroom finished in it. And he said, well, you know, it all just goes into play. You know, it's just the square footage of the basement. So. Then the spring, I got a bill from our mortgage company, and I had to pay, I think, around $600 or $700 for the difference
okay.
of what we did not have escrowed, and then our payments went up. So I kind of got to looking at it a little bit deeper.
All right.
And I went to the assessor's website, and because we have friends in Cedar Creek that have recently built homes, one the same year, one the year before, the Todds and the Persingers, which I have that in the material I brought. And their homes, one's bigger, one's a little bit smaller.
Okay.
But to my mind, when you go in the homes, like the inside of theirs has higher quality stuff. But I understand it's not really based on the inside. But, you know, we have Formica counters. They have granite. You know,
okay.
they just got the nicer stuff on the inside.
All right.
But we're taxed so much higher. So I went in with that material to James, and he said, you know, it's on the outside. And whoever, you know, your home was, I understood him saying, our home, it's graded on, you know, when they go out there, like, at ABC system,
right.
and we're graded in A. He said, you know, yours was graded higher. And I just, my main thing is I just don't understand that. We do have a nice home. It is a lot of work. We put log siding on it, which is molding terribly now, or whatever it is. We power wash it. We've done it all. It's a pain.
One question I have for you that
okay.
you didn't ask for is what do you believe the valuation should be?
I have it in here. I based it at my math. I'm not asking for a lot. I think our home should be, it's on, and I'm sorry, the print quality is not very well on this. My printer is messing up. I think if you base it on what Julie and Todd are paying on their house, which theirs is higher than the other material I've got, because since then, I've been a licensed realtor for 6 years.
Right.
And in April, I went ahead and put my license with a real estate company, joined the MLS, so I have access to the MLS. And I went ahead and did a search on it for like homes, similar square footage, that as close as I could get. And I also got their tax sheets that follow their MLS sheets for what they closed for. When you do the math on those, what they're paying per square foot gets significantly less than what we pay. But, you know, I understand it's not always comparing apples to apples. Julian Todd's home does have the wood siding. It's not like ours. It's more the hand-hewn kind or whatever you call it, and it has stone. It's a really nice house on the lake. And if you look at the rate that they're assessed at, according to the assessor's office, I think that that would, with our square footage, that would be $206,019.54 for our home. That's only a difference of $16,684.46. But I think that's more in line with what I feel is fair.
So you're saying your valuation should be closer to 206?
Yes.
Versus the 222?
Yes. And, you know, and I'm...
And you
move, I just feel that's a fair
when
value.
When did you move into the house?
July of 08.
July of 08.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the homes that... And I'm not trying to get nitpicky. This was kind of an afterthought. I didn't take this to James's office. I just took the three homes, or our home, the tax sheet, and Persinger's and Todd's house, those tax sheets, or, you know, to him. And James and I talked about them. You know, since then, when I looked on the MLS for the closed homes and I got their MLS sheets for what they closed for, you know, then I kind of got to looking at it, and it was, I understand our home's newer, but there's a couple homes that look. And I took a picture of my house driving out just in case you guys wanted to see it today. The homes, the pictures of these homes on the MLS and when they close, which I understand the square footage is quite a bit different, but they're paying significantly less in taxes. And this one home in particular, it closed in 02. No, it was built in 02. So our house is six years newer, and it's about 1,000 square feet more. They're assessed at, for their home only, appraised at $80,984, and it sold in March of this year for $180,000. So, you know, I'm saying I feel that that's fair for an actual appraised value of our home, right, to be an actual appraised value. And, I mean, and I'm not trying to get less. I'm just trying to get what's fair. But when you look at it with this, okay. I mean, I could even, I mean, you know,
okay.
One might say you might argue less, but I just.
James, what's your thoughts?
After reading Lacey's notes here, I feel that we could probably do something in the basement area of it, and then I see where she's used carpet and and a couple other items that we could probably
get
the depreciation.
See that lock sign?
I think the 206 is not out of line.
I'll move that we change the valuation of the BOE number 0402 to $206,000 for improvements only, not the land.
Oh, wait, what? $200,000?
From 222 to 206 is what she's asked for. Second by Chuck. Any more discussion?
The only discussion I have is most of her comps are coming from earlier this year. But I think she's making the case that these are way, 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 way better than hers.
Well, and she's also got some explanations.
And some other stuff that says the drop of value is a whole lot more.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries, I know for sure, 3-0. You're done. You'll get a letter saying it's been reduced to.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
See you later.
Bob, I need a ruling here. Is it 3-0? I mean, just three votes? Or is it a majority of the board, a majority of the quorum?
I think it's a majority of the quorum, but I haven't looked it up. So.
Can you look it up for me? We have a 2-1 vote that we don't know if it's passed or not, so I said 2-1. And
okay. I'll look it up.
Thank you. All right, we have a few minutes here until the 3:15, which I'll be making a phone call. So we have approximately 10 minutes. And what I want to do is after that 3:15, we'll take a short recess and then come back and start evaluating stuff.
I was wanting to, I don't know, I was suggesting revisiting the Residence Inn.
That's fine. BOE number looks like
703.
BOE 0304.
Gotcha. 0304. Thank you.
Who is it?
I mean, I'm going to vote.
I'm going to move that we deny.
Second it.
Okay, if I could explain.
I don't know if you need to check it.
The Econolodge adjacent to it, he's asking for $28,000 a unit. The Econolodge adjacent to it sold into 2007, higher values. For 27 something a unit. That's what all the bonging was about. Jerry Jeske sending me that comp. His are way bigger units.
It sold for exactly three times gross. Three times his gross is way higher than what Diggs has it on.
Exactly.
I think there's all tons of evidence. He's trying to tell us this residence in as a limited service, crappy little motel. And
the reason I'm even why I'm doing it is because if we at all consider the Jasper Enterprises discussions, which is on the Days Inn, the Red Roof Inn, and all that, and Howard Johnson's, if we use that argument and apply that argument to this residence inn,
which was way high,
we should raise it up by $1 million.
We should raise it up by $1 million.
So I mean, either we take the argument, we don't take the argument, and so it appears that if we're buying to that argument,
this residence inn is worth over $40,000. Is worth, I think, probably.
And I understand where he's coming from, but I'm also saying from a growth, if we're looking at the income approach at all on the Jasper Enterprises, we have to be consistent from that aspect.
Well, I think James is right on this one. Did you move to deny?
No, I seconded your deny.
Okay.
Chuck, do you have any questions? All right, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, for sure.
And that's number what?
BOE 0304.
BRB Realty.
Yeah.
You're right on, James.
Ain't a dandy.
Who read?
Who brought that in?
We talked to a guy in New York.
That's the one on the phone.
Yeah. Are we going to cover Jasper's or?
I don't want to. Right
now. You don't want to. Okay. What other ones have we not done today?
The first one, which was BOE 0259, we didn't vote on that one, did we?
Is that no. Johnson? What was that?
That was Johnson, and it was just the land.
What land?
We had two parcels, one with a house.
One was here in Old Remus. One was in Emery Creek.
The Emery Creek one was the base. The one had a basement.
6725 is Emery Creek. 4735 is Old Remus.
35 is Remus?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 4735, parcel number starting. So very first one.
I made my move. I'm going to move that we deny that request. This one here, the very first one.
4735.
Yeah.
Oh, 4735.
Okay.
All right. That's the Aremus one? It's just like all the
Chuck?
Others?
Yeah.
I'll second your
second
motion.
Second to deny.
Discussion?
Yes,
is that
sir?
Because that's what we've done on all of them? And
that's
before.
What you've done.
Yeah. Aye. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries to deny BOE 0259.
And who made the motion?
Jim Stroff. Is Chuck Pennell seconded that motion. It looks like we have four Jasper properties left.
Did we do the 264
already? Did we do the 264?
Keith Jasper?
Yes, we did.
We did do it. Okay.
We did it. We made a motion to reduce the basement, I believe.
Oh, okay. Based on his calculations.
Based on his new calculations.
Correct.
That's all of them. We did rich now.
So all we have left now is the 315. Let's go ahead and call early. Let's pull that number up.
Which one?
Carrie's here for something.
She's thinking we're going to make a decision that's going to be earth-shattering. She just wants to hear us talk about, I don't know.
I don't have much left when I wait for the phone call in my office.
Yeah, you won't have. 0413. What's Howells. BOE 0413. It's in your...
Okay. This
Donald
is
and Constance Powell.
Is this a Branson Landing deal?
Wallkill, New York.
I had that out.
Yeah, you did.
I just
handed it back to you.
Purchase price was $189. Market value is $169. It is the Promenade at Branson Landing.
They say they bought it at $87.
Now, I will just mention to you that this did come before the board last year, but it was for a classification issue. And so because this is valuation, different issue, I went ahead and set the appointment.
Bob, is that correct?
What's that?
My goodness, you have a great ability to focus. This specific BOE came before us last year on a classifications appeal.
Okay.
But now they're discussing valuations, two different reasons. Do we still hear it or don't hear it?
I think you hear it in 2011. Bob can come up with whatever he come up with.
We technically heard about this parcel.
And set the value.
Yeah, and
did we set value last year?
Sure, when you changed the classification.
Oh, you're right.
I don't think we touch it if they appealed and this appeals on value. But if they were doing a classification issue this year and saying that it changed since last year, I think you might hear it.
No.
This is a high five time.
Hold on. It was opposite.
I know.
Classification is what we need to hear.
No. It's just the opposite of what I just said. So they came in and appealed it, and they didn't appeal
it. Actually, it was a Styron law firm appeal, okay?
Very well, it could be Ms. Walden.
But it was, in that group, and it was classification, and now it's valuation.
But they came in and appealed, and they didn't appeal on valuation, but they did appeal in the odd-numbered year.